Welcome to Lightning Bug, a celebration of grassroots progressive politics in rural Pennsylvania. We stand for the protection of all people, the environment, and the rights enshrined in our Constitution. We support an informed citizenry and equal opportunity for all to achieve the American dream. We as constituents will hold our elected officials accountable. We are committed to equality, inclusion, acceptance, and fairness. We are lights in the night. We are hope for our future. We are not alone. We are Lightning Bug. Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Lightning Bug. I'm Dwayne Heisler.
I'm Nathan Lund.
And I'm Jessica Brand. How's everybody doing today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I am well. Dwayne, how are you?
Oh my gosh, it's just crazy, right?
Dwayne's crazy, okay.
It's crazy with everything that's going on. I mean, we've seen things in this past week that we've never seen before.
We have. We're starting out on such a bad note, but what else could we possibly talk about?
There is no high note, so we've got to start where we have to start.
Yep, absolutely.
We have to be present at what's going on, and that includes babies in cages.
Literally.
Right.
Yep.
So, I don't know what you folks were doing last night when the news broke from AP, where they were talking about tender age children. I love the framing of that, tender age. It almost sounds like something you buy in a grocery store.
It sounds like cattle.
Right.
Which is a bizarre
veal,
metaphor.
There you go. We're getting them young, keeping them tender.
So children from
newborns
to 3 years old. Yeah.
Right. For me to hear that phrase, I didn't know how to like grapple with that.
You know,
I guess because they didn't want to say the word baby.
Yeah.
Or child.
Baby, I don't know that makes it any better.
Baby and toddler, apparently, they didn't want to say because what would it evoke an emotional response?
Right.
I don't know how this doesn't evoke an emotional response.
I mean, it's tender. That's vulnerable.
Exactly.
It's a synonym for vulnerable.
Yeah.
They are people who are in their earliest years, and they're most susceptible to these kinds of emotional traumas that are being inflicted on them right now.
Yeah.
So I was on a conference call, and I had the television on in the background. My husband was watching TV, and I saw Rachel Maddow like kind of breaking up. I was like, "What is going on?" And I kind of put the phone on hold and listened into what was going on. And she got so choked up, she couldn't even like say the words. Like it was hard. I mean, there she is, someone who's like in the thick of the news all the time.
Absolutely.
And this comes across, you know, it was breaking news. She got the sheet, and I actually looked up what it actually said.
Yes.
And talking about, you know, a room filled with crying kids.
Yeah.
You know, and she's reading this and just says, I have to pass it along.
Yeah.
I can't continue.
Well, and that's really something from someone who is always very professional and very poised, and just the fact that she kept trying and she just couldn't get through it.
At one point she said, "Can you put up a graphic?" And they're like, "Nope, you don't have the graphic." Like,
because it had come in so quickly.
Out,
yeah.
Right.
And to compose herself.
Yeah,
yeah.
And as the professional thing is, like, she didn't want to reveal that. She couldn't help but reveal it.
Right.
And ask for the graphic. I thought that was really telling. And
yeah.
At one point she kind of tried to be like she was trying to laugh over it, like to try and
like laugh at herself for having
like, okay,
the response.
I
have to pull it together.
This. Yeah. And not at the seriousness of it.
No, definitely not.
But to try and be like, wow. I think it was unexpected.
Yes.
I think it was really unexpected of her when she got that in front of her and she started going there. And you could see it. Like when I rewound it and look at it, like I could see that it was coming.
Yeah, well, and you could see, even in her, after she read the first couple words, her response was, as she kept reading, "Oh, this is incredible." And she was just floored, because she was definitely reading it in real time.
So that's the reason, that I wanted to kind of mention that, like, that's probably, we're not talking about what actually happened, we're talking about someone's reaction to it.
Yeah.
But I think that our country is in a form of shock.
Yes.
I've talked to several people who have told me about
I mean, I had a therapist actually talk with me. That's her occupation. I work with her in another group. Mm-hmm. And she said to me about how her heart physically hurts over what she's seeing happen. And I'm wondering, you know, what she meant by that, like how that really felt. And you just see, well, look at the protests we had yesterday. So maybe we should start there with local, right?
We should. I mean, we had Columbia County Indivisible really put on, in 4 days notice, put on a really impressive protest in the town square in Bloomsburg. And we had, did you get a count? I don't know how many people were there, but the sidewalks were full.
Yeah, I didn't check the paper yet.
It would have had to have been at least 50, I would say.
I was thinking more like around 70.
Yeah, that sounds right. I got there a little bit later than you did, so some people had to come in and out.
So just to put a context on it, today is June 20th, so we had that protest yesterday,
the 19th,
in the afternoon. Late afternoon,
yes,
like 4 o'clock or so.
Yeah, 4:30 to 6.
We had some people gather at the headquarters and make up signs.
Yes,
which was great therapy for them, right?
Yeah.
And then walk down, which is just a few blocks to the square with the fountain, and then they were protesting there for over an hour.
Yeah, and overwhelming support. I didn't hear any.
It was over 2 hours because I left at 6 and they were still there.
Counter. Yeah. I didn't have any issues. Lots of people were waving, and we got a lot of support. And some new faces that we haven't seen at our other rallies and at our other events. So, you know, this issue is really mobilizing people, and it's touching them in a way that some others haven't.
I've been very busy on social media with people sending me Facebook messages. They're sending me text messages. When's the next protest? Where are they going on? Where can this happen? There's one going on today right now in Lewisburg.
In Lewisburg, yes.
In Lewisburg, there's one happening. And so these things are popping up all over the place. And there's a national call for March in D.C. And I'm sure there's going to be sister rallies
everywhere
and protests happening on June 30th.
Yes.
So that's a date to kind of keep in mind, which also happens to be the day of DemFest.
It does.
We talked about.
Yep.
So we're going to be acknowledging it there at DemFest. I'm not quite sure what that's going to look like at this point.
Yeah.
But we have some ideas, and the committee's working on it so that we can, you know, show that we are families coming together to support families who are being torn apart.
Yeah, I think that's great, and that's a good way to show the support that, you know, that we could show from this area, and to do that at a family resort really speaks loudly, I think.
This has had such an impact. I mean, we've heard from some of our allies, like Britain, mm-hmm. and Germany, saying this is not right. And yesterday was another big day, too, at the United Nations, right?
Right, right. Yeah. The Human Rights Council.
Right, right. Right. What happened there?
So Nikki Haley exited us from the Human Rights Council under the directive of Donald Trump. So it makes sense that when we are committing human rights violations, we would not want to be the watchdog for human rights concerns. Like, you have to have a leg to stand on when you're doing that.
So is that making us more legitimately, like, a violator of human rights?
I think so.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think so.
To violate human rights now because we're not on the commission anymore.
Right, it's fine. We're not hypocrites, at least.
Yeah.
We'll own it.
Right, yeah.
We'll own it. I've heard a lot of discussion that Trump really... Well, let's just be clear. At any moment of any day, Trump could just reverse this policy.
Instantly.
This is a policy.
Right.
Yes.
This is not the framing they're trying to blame the Democrats because they won't come to the table for his freaking wall.
Yeah.
Right? This is not about, because, you know, there hasn't been a wall all this time for all these years.
Right.
And we've never had these atrocities like this.
Well, and I mean, come on. The Democrats were willing to say, whatever, we'll fund your stupid wall.
Yes.
Save the Dreamers. Save the citizenship for the Dreamers, and he didn't do it.
Right.
Now he's looking at this again in this situation where people are horrified because children are being kept in cages away from their parents and saying, well, if you had given me my wall, I wouldn't have done this.
Since we talked about Rachel Maddow too earlier, on Tuesday, she was covering how the Trump campaign, well, the Trump presidency, looking forward to the 2018 elections. It's always a campaign. Looking forward to November, he actually sees this as a winning issue.
Yes,
the White House is looking at this as a winning issue because the people who are against this
horrible
atrocity.
Okay.
Yeah, people who are against this are going to be seen as soft on border security, which this is completely separate from border security.
Yeah,
so we have to not cede that ground. We have to make sure that when we're having this conversation, it's a little bit complicated because it is going to be, but we don't have to say that this is acceptable by any means when we say, yeah, sure, secure our borders. That's fine. This isn't how that looks.
Issues can be complex. Yeah. You can look at things from multiple perspectives, but if you can't look at children... infants being taken away from their parents and say that is wrong, then whatever you want to say about border security.
So you mentioned DACA and, you know, the Dreamers. And so why are we shocked? You know, he wouldn't stand up for children who came over here in the first place and that we made a promise to that there would be a path for citizenship. And that's what we were working towards. He dropped them when they grew up. Why wouldn't he drop the baby when they're young?
Yeah.
You know, so this doesn't surprise me. And the second point I want to make is it seems as if that the Trump administration and the Republican Party are forced to describe and talk about and frame immigration in terms of criminals, in terms of drug dealers, and that kind of thing.
Right.
Because it's the only way that they can fully enact and engage their party, both the racist and the white supremacist side, and the others that will just go along with it because of this crime and punishment type of framing.
Right.
And also, I mean,
I think that, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that explains, you know, a lot of people have been commenting. We're seeing pictures and people have been let into the facilities where the little boys are, but they're not showing the girls. And one analyst said, that doesn't fit into the narrative of criminals and gangs and drug dealers. It's easier to look at the boys.
I heard a rumor about
I've heard a couple rumors.
I heard that the girls are actually helping with some of the little kids.
Oh, yes.
I've heard that as well. But I was like, well, that's interesting, but where does that come from?
Yeah.
You know, it's at this point, it's no news. I mean, who knows? We can't see.
Right. Yeah, and exactly. That's exactly the point. They're not letting reporters in. They're not, and if it is, it's for a very short time, and it's like, oh, well,
it's
no
scripted.
Audio, and no this, and
what
it's like...
What country are we living
in?
It's like when journalists go to North Korea, and then everything looks good on the surface, because that's the only surface that you're allowed
to see.
It's the same thing when you're looking at people going to these detention centers.
Yep. So
I'm having a hard time right now thinking about, we are sitting around here talking about detention centers in the United States of America.
Yes.
We are talking about detention centers in the United States of America, and this is becoming the norm.
Yes.
We're talking about it, you know, we have one right here in Reading.
We do.
Right outside of Reading we have one. We've had people from Columbia County taken there.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't seen them since.
And they've failed. We know that facility has failed inspections, and it has been extremely problematic. And that was before these real ICE crackdowns had started within the last year and a half. So yeah. I can only imagine what's going on there now, but it needs to stop.
And meanwhile, Paul Ryan is sitting there doing nothing, of course, right?
Well, that's what he does best.
I know, really. I mean, but we have Casey, who's championed some legislation.
We do. And Casey also called out the president earlier today and basically said, following a report that these detention centers are costing a ridiculous amount of money, and it's costing more to separate the kids from their parents than it would be to keep them together. And he said, well, fine, then, like, if you're so concerned about the financial end of this, then why are you doing it if it's costing more money?
What about the reports of the adults then being like, taken to Guatemala, but their kids are still here? Like, how are they going to find... I wouldn't trust that.
No.
And a big part of that is that they're not tracking people. They don't have any plans in place to reunite people once they move out of ICE. Because in ICE, they get this number that's assigned to them. Once they move out of that agency to the other ones, like to the Department of Justice or to the HHS, which... You know, kids and adults are going to separate places, but there's no way to track that to make sure that they can be reunited.
Now, Americans are so skeptical that they, like, carry their luggage when they fly.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, seriously. So, yeah, take my baby. Take my child. Somehow, you know, I feel comfortable with that. Like, that's like, I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, sure.
And have you guys heard about, like, the people who are trying to justify it, saying, oh, these kids, when they're in these detention centers, they're able to play video games and they have access to education and everything. And it's like, well, if your kid gets kidnapped, is your first concern going to be, oh, I hope the room that they keep them in is nice.
I hope they're playing some games.
Yeah, do they have a PlayStation?
Right, yeah. And it's
that'll make it all okay.
Yeah, right. And that's what the parents are thinking, right?
Right, yeah. That's their main concern. Are they going to be in a comfortable space? No.
Now, what they're doing is providing that space for the racist people to say, oh, well, look, we're doing all this stuff for them.
Look how nicely we're treating them.
They were in the dirt down in Mexico and, you know, south of the border.
Right.
You know.
Well, and let's just take that for one...
shitholes.
For one... take that for 1 minute and just state that these are people who were seeking asylum. I mean, we're all pretty... You know, we're speaking from a place of privilege here, but when you look at how bad would your situation in life have to be to pack up your kids and flee with no plans of ever going back, knowing how difficult that's going to be. You have to be in a horrible, horrible, dangerous situation to be willing to do that. And then this is how... this country is treating them.
Right, and asylum is legal. That's legal immigration, and there is a way on the books.
No one's hopping a fence here.
Right. Well, the fact is that we have ports of entry, which if you don't enter through that, you're not going through the right channels. But they have blocked ports of entry, so that way the only way you can come over and have an asylum claim is to do it illegally.
Right.
So something happened to me yesterday when you mentioned, you know, speaking from a point of privilege, that made me think of it. After the meeting, I got in my car. It was so hot yesterday. I was thirsty. So I went down Route 11, and as I'm traveling down Route 11, like to go into like a Burger King or whatever, I see that there are police cars, two police cars and a white van.
Did you see that?
Okay. Now, when I was coming out, I saw it was in a distance, and my first concern was, oh, that's right where I need to turn in. It was right by the line where Columbia, Bloomsburg and Scott Township are.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, I'm going to have to turn in there. And then as I got closer and I looked in the window, it was... two Latinos that were in there and they were there. And, you know, so my mind, you know, with the events of the day and what is happening, what happens with detention centers, and I'm thinking, are they asking them for ID? You know, is that, or are they, you know, why are they taking so long? This looks, there's two vehicles there. You know, is this more than a parking ticket? And then I go through my drive-thru, the privileged person that I am. I get my iced tea. I come back out. The vehicle is still there. And parts of me wants to look to see what's going on. The other part is like, don't gawk. And the other part is like feeling helpless. Like,
what
is
do
there
I do
something
in this
going
situation?
On here? Is there something that I should be doing or can be doing? Or it was horrible. I mean, and it's like, yeah, it was horrible for me.
Right.
What were they going through in that moment being pulled over by police in the current police state that we're in?
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, because I saw the cop cars in the van and I left well after you did. We were at a meeting together, but I left later than you. So, yeah, I wonder. But I didn't see. I saw the two cops.
So they were still there.
Were still there. I saw two cops, but I couldn't see any other people. So I have no idea what was happening there. So that's really interesting because I didn't know that piece of it. But yeah, they were still there, and that was probably an hour after you left. So
maybe we should really educate ourselves and find out what we should be doing. Is there something we should be doing, or does that just make it worse? Or
where's
I don't feel comfortable with a check and balance. And how about all the governors announcing that they're going to withdraw or not send troops to the border with this kind of policy?
Thank you, Governor Wolf.
That's across the political spectrum, though. Governors
who are
withdrawing are Republicans as well, because they don't have the same calculus as Trump. They don't see this as a winning issue. They see that faith communities, progressive groups, even conservative groups who care about families.
They're all gathering together.
The Catholic Church as well.
About, what's his name? That was just up in Scranton.
Jeff Sessions.
Jeff Sessions. So there's something else that happened,
speaking
too.
Speaking of... Right? protests in our area.
Yeah, and then Pence down in Philly as well.
Yes.
All these, every time that these people are showing up, they're getting crowds that are against them and against this policy.
Huge crowds, yes.
And that's not, it's not all Democrats either.
No.
This is a progressive podcast, right? You're espousing right. progressive values, not progressive
Preaching
politics.
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah, but this is progressive values, and people yes. can buy into that regardless of their party. If we're right. actually espousing
yes,
progressive
correct.
Values, like not putting kids in cages, crazy
yeah,
as that
I
might
know.
Seem.
It's like, pretty out there.
There is a huge audience that has that same view.
So within about 2 days, they had 300 to 400 people show up to protest sessions
in
up there
Scranton,
in Scranton,
which was incredible.
And it was a combination of work from Action Together and from Make the Road and several other organizations.
And local churches
yes,
as
right.
well.
Local churches
huge presence. Yes. There were a large group of Catholic of nuns
right.
that were there,
the
which was
this,
which
right?
was
right.
incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're seeing it. You are seeing it across the board, and that's a really good point. And I mean, when you see, I mean, Ted Cruz saying, "Well, you know, maybe this isn't good." It's like, oh my god.
But then I think that they can't.
Here
just,
we are with Ted Cruz except agreeing.
The Ted Cruz litmus test.
Yeah.
Right. They can't. Oh, they can't just punt it though, because one of the issues of just saying, "Oh, this is a policy that's from the executive branch," is that that doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's only power that
yes.
the executive has because it's power that's seated by the legislators. So right. when you look at Bob Casey and other people who are saying like, "Oh, we should actually have legislation in
yes.
place. This shouldn't be up to a president to decide." I agree. It reminds me of when we were speaking some truth to power when Obama was in office and the kill list came out. We were cautioning, we don't want other presidents to do this. Whatever you felt about
right.
how he was going to use that power, we didn't want future presidents to have it, so we wanted to take it back.
Future presidents who may be extremely dangerous, like
right.
Donald Trump.
So I don't want the next president, whoever it might be, to have this power. I don't even want this one to have it. So I
right.
think that it's
right.
important for Casey and for other people who are willing to take up the mantle of this cause to actually do it, because it shouldn't
well,
depend
on who's in
the office.
Well, and to protect the office of the presidency, you don't want to put the president in a position that he can abuse those powers.
Yeah.
Yep. I say he, because so far.
Right.
there we
right.
are.
Yeah,
president
right.
Hillary Clinton would be dealing with this very differently, because it wouldn't be happening in the first
oh
place.
My gosh,
speaking
what a
of which,
world,
she
universe.
Has spoken out, Laura Bush has spoken out,
right.
Michelle Obama,
oh,
and Rosalind
every
Carter
living. Yep,
all
every
have
living
spoken out. And I mean, you have to, Barbara Bush just passed away recently, but it's hard to imagine that she would
right.
look
right.
at this any differently.
Yep.
So it's really remarkable, the coalitions that are coming together against this policy.
So let's get out the crystal ball for just a moment.
Okie dokie.
Like, let's think about where this is going. Like, what is happening? It doesn't, he's like tripling down. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Know, that doesn't seem to be sure. movement there. Is there anything that can happen? I mean, that could actually move him. I guess that's the first thing. Is Trump movable on this issue in some way? I mean, he flip flops on so much, right?
Yeah.
If he does end up flip-flopping on this one, the way he's going to present it is that it's a position he's always had. So if he does flip-flop,
I didn't
want
to do this
yeah,
in the first place. The Democrats
to,
made me.
Yeah, finally I'm able to get around the Democrats, and I can do what I wanted to do. And that's how it's going to be spun. And
right.
I think that half of the country is going to be really receptive to that message, regardless of its truth value.
Yeah, sadly. Well, because half the country believes that this policy was already in place. That is where the quote fake news unquote and the alternative facts crisis that we are in this country right now really, really is harmful, because you've got people who are just watching Fox News and who are just reading Breitbart and listening to Alex Jones, the lunatic, and saying, well, Obama had this policy too. Why didn't you care then? No, he didn't. This is brand new. This happened in May. You cannot compare at all.
Well, there are
all.
Religious leaders in the evangelical community who are saying live and on the air that they don't believe this is actually happening.
Yeah.
Right.
They don't believe it's
actors.
Actually happening. I would like someone to
yeah,
ask
they're all
them,
acting.
Okay, well, let's like try to expand the mind a little bit. If it was happening,
would
what
that
would
be
your
that?
Would that make a
yeah.
difference?
Because right.
you're in denial now. But let's
yes.
just say,
yes.
for instance, oh, and then it'll probably be something like, well, I don't want it. That would be conjecture, and I don't want to, you know, predict that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, and then they're throwing all their faith in God, because for some reason or another, our leadership is predetermined by God. Right?
Right.
That whole conversation and dialogue about...
Well, yeah, as long as it's white men you know, then leadership
well,
is
Well, Sessions,
by God.
He got a lot of pushback when he said that following laws is yes. Yeah. And actually, it's really appropriate that yesterday was Juneteenth. So
yes,
that was the that's exactly. the celebration of freedom when slavery actually ended, because the Emancipation Proclamation, it took about 2 years to actually reach the full Confederacy.
Yes.
Down in Texas was the last one, June 19th, 1865, right? So that was yesterday, and that was federal power expanding freedoms. And when you're looking
yes.
at something like this, it's really apropos to have like your protest on that date, because these people are looking for freedoms. They're looking for due process. They're looking for things that our Constitution guarantees them, and they're being denied right now when they come to this country. I want to broaden the conversation, because not only people who are coming with asylum claims have a right to due process.
Absolutely.
Anybody who's on American soil does. Even if you do cross the border illegally, you still have the right
That's
to your day in
about
court.
The constitutional
yes.
rights.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Making those objections.
And if we're saying that people who come to America aren't
all of a sudden you're not entitled to any rights.
Right.
Yeah.
Then what are we as a country anymore?
Yeah.
Well, that matters.
That's an excellent question.
So where is it going? I mean, that's the real question. Like, what can you see? Like, I'm not surprised, you know, knowing this administration the way that we do and the statements that they've made, that this is where we're at.
Well,
but,
yeah, this is someone who announced their candidacy calling Mexicans
So what happens
rapists
when the
criminals.
First baby dies?
Yeah. I mean,
let's just put that out there. Like, I'm trying to think of where we go from here, or what could happen, what could go wrong.
Yeah.
Where are we when that first baby dies? First of all, will we even fucking
will
know
we
it?
Know? Yeah. Or has it happened right. already?
Has it happened already?
Yeah.
We don't know that.
There's no transparency at all.
So there's something. So what would happen? I would imagine there'd be more outrage, but does that matter?
Yeah.
You would probably end up with the same thing you get when mass shootings become a national issue. People talk about child actors. People talk about how terrible it is.
Right.
They'll send thoughts and prayers, and they'll say, it's terrible that this policy had to be in place. And then you'll have the same conversation, just with an extra story element.
Right.
That's all it's going to be.
After all, we're Americans. We don't care, like at Sandy Hook, if our children get shot right. in front of us.
Literally.
We still won't do anything. So what will that matter? That's what I mean. So.
Yeah.
So a baby dies, that's not going to move the needle. What does?
Well, I think we can look at, just take for example, we're talking about school shootings and shootings in general in a slightly different way right now than we have been before. That came from, so maybe we'll find the equivalent of, that came from the Parkland students saying, calling out the BS, literally, calling out the BS and saying, no more, this is unacceptable, if you're not going to take care of it, we're going to take care of it.
Sadly,
so what
the
community...
the 2-year-old and the 3-year-olds
right,
can't protest.
But,
well, they are, they're crying.
They are.
Yeah. Oh,
so that's what I'm wondering. What?
Audio.
Yeah. Oh,
from
it's terrible.
From ProPublica on Monday, where
yes.
you had somebody who was actually a legal representative that went into one of these detention centers, and it's the first time we've ever heard something that's actually concurrent with someone entering the center,
yes.
and you have this little girl who's crying and just repeating this phone number, which was her only lifeline to the outside world, the only way that she knew to seek help, and
right.
she just keeps repeating this number, and she just keeps crying, and listening to that audio.
She was told. Like, she's grabbing onto that number.
Yep,
that's all
like
she's
it's
got.
Like it's her blanket. Like
right.
it's her. Like that's all that she
yeah.
has.
Because her parents probably told her, "This is what you need. If you're
this
separated
is,
from
right.
us, you need to have
she's
this.
Just how you
to be
find
a good
us.
Kid, and
yep.
she's trying
right.
to take care of herself. And
yeah.
as a little,
she's 6 years old. Yeah.
It's,
yeah. So I guess my question then is, you know, we've seen these turns. We've seen them a couple times in the last year and a half, where you saw people camping out in their legislators' offices last year over healthcare and stuff like that. You're seeing more. You're seeing things kind of like the volume is getting turned up. So I don't know. I don't know what
well,
the answer is in this situation.
It hasn't changed anything nationally, but it has changed in some states. Like some
right.
states have passed some gun law things. Some things have moved there. Will we see something move in terms of immigration on a state level that could be helpful?
Right.
Like,
I'm wondering how, has any, and I have no idea.
Maybe shutting down a detention center.
Is the Texas state government addressing this at all? And I have no idea. You shouldn't ask questions
know.
That you don't know the answers to, but
know.
But that's maybe something that we should look at, because, you know, it's all, this is happening in Texas. So, you know, maybe that's a place to look.
Right, Texas but, and California would yeah, be good places right, to look to.
Yeah, well, along the border.
So, you know, we were going to talk about state committee, but I don't think that, that this works. We'll have to save that for the next time. But just a heads up, we've had we had a big state committee meeting where we elected new officers and things like that. We can talk about that on the next episode because that's something that we can do. There are some opportunities that are there to connect with the Democratic Party and campaigns and what's moving forward with that leadership. So that would be good to kind of chat about. But I don't know, what are our last words on that we have for, I mean, we talked about the tender age, we talked about Casey and legislation, about Trump blaming the Dems, about our allies like Britain and Germany, the Human Rights Council with the United Nations, the detention center in Reading, the protests that we've had around the states. I mean, there's all of this stuff going on, and yet it continues. And so, what do we want to leave people with?
Well, I mean, I think we, you know, we always say this, but it's worth repeating. Contact your legislators. They do track these contacts. But also, anyone who wants to take an additional step, the group Sleeping Giants has done the research to find some of the contractors who are building these facilities. If you go to Sleeping Giants on Facebook or on Twitter, they are posting email addresses of executives awesome. At these companies and basically saying, just hit them, hit them in the wallet. That's, you know, that we have seen in the last year, that is an effective, you ask what it takes.
Yes,
sometimes
making money off of
sometimes
this.
That's
misery.
That's the only avenue that's going to get us anywhere. So if that helps, let's do that.
That's good. That's really good, Jess. Anything else that, I mean, I'm kind of at a loss here. I know, obviously, I'm looking for opportunities to have our voices heard. This is not something we're going to let go. And this is not something I know our Indivisible group and Action Together and other progressive groups, they're not going to let this go. There's too much that's moving around this.
No.
So I would say that's another thing you can do is, if you haven't, if it's been a while since you've been out, maybe the last time you were out was when we were fighting for women's rights or when we were doing healthcare. Get out again.
Yeah.
This is the most vulnerable of us.
Stay plugged into what these groups are doing because we're not going to let up.
Right. And what they're counting on is that it will become a partisan issue, which you're already seeing tinges of that in the people who are organizing. But I'd say resist that urge and just build the broadest coalition you can, because anybody who has any kind of humanitarian issue, interest is against this. They're all against this. So build that coalition and just get them to be heard.
So this is why I think Lightning Bug is important, because we really need to be lights in the night.
Absolutely.
We have to be hope for our future, and we have to know that we're not alone. So thank you for tuning in.